Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, before we start, we wanted to make a statement concerning the most recent SI.com article pertaining to the Mavericks front office controversy. It's been a conflicting week as a Mavs fan. The resurfaced controversy of sexual harassment, the most recent public accusation, has made it difficult to root for the Mavs right now. The Mavericks' lack of oversight, or at best, willful ignorance, to possibly allow this awful behavior to continue is an absolute disgrace, and it is infuriating. Each and every one of us at MFFLs.com and Hoops and Hefeweizens podcasts love and adore our Mavericks. The Mavs have been the subject of many of our fondest memories with our friends and our families. The Mavs are the reason we do this pod, the reason that we watch basketball. But this is bigger than basketball. This is more important than basketball. And the behavior the Mavericks organization may have tolerated is absolutely disgusting, and it needs to be addressed quickly and harshly. We're excited to talk about our players and coaches, who so far seem to be clear from any wrongdoing or participating in this toxic work culture. We're still Mavs fans for life, and we're excited about the restart of the NBA and the playoffs in general. But this cannot be swept under the rug or continue to be business as usual, when our team needs to be held accountable. Thanks for hearing us out. Now back to the pod. Coming in faster than a Kyle Anderson crossover, it's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. With me today are my fellow Mavs fans for life. We got somebody that is 100 followers richer. We have at Reddit Mavs, Ruben. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yo, getting better every day. Specifically, we get to talk some Mavs basketball. Lurking in the shadows and eagerly waiting to make a left turn, we have at Edmund the Slayer. Grant, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Going to make left turns today about 1:30.
He's got to go fast. All right. And with us today, we have our editor-in-chief, a real American, a real hero, a real human being, Bryce Patterick. At Bryce Patterick, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. Man, what an intro.
Hey, man. Wow. Hey, listen, I am running on what is just cold brew and cold brew. My heart is a human drum solo right now. It is just... Let's get this going, guys. First thing, we had a couple of scrimmages that we didn't cover. I'd like to do a quick recap. They happened. Okay, now let's go to the regular season. It's the start of the season.
We're finally here. Let's go.
Thank God. You know,
absolutely fantastic.
I can't wait for the Mavs season opener today on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Rockets really sucked. It doesn't count.
I will say, I'm so glad the Mavericks didn't choke against a Houston team that infuriates every traditional basketball purist. All right, so we have to talk about it because
unfortunately I didn't want to, but we were here to do this.
The Dallas Mavericks fell short to the everyone's favorite team to talk about when they feel like talking about statistics, the Houston Rockets,
also known as the Houston Rockets.
The Houston Rockets. Ooh,
I love to go.
Yeah, I have some good friends that live in Houston, and I've met some really kind people from Houston, but damn, is that my least favorite city in Texas. I just don't like anything from it. There's some redeeming qualities, but we're not going to talk about that here. This is a Mavs fan podcast. Right. Let's do this. All right. So, big takeaways. We got Trey Burks on parade. He went off. That dude didn't look like he was going to miss, and I think he only missed 1 3-pointer, so he is living up to his name.
He missed 8 for 10.
8 for 10, I'm sorry.
Which is nuts.
Absolutely insane. That is some 2K numbers. I'm looking forward to the Trey Burke cover of 2K and 2K22. I'm really excited about it.
Bubble edition.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely got to be like a card or something that's going to happen in 2K. Like he's
absolutely
he's on fire.
all for naught, unfortunately. Like, this would have easily been like, this is the Trey Burke game. Holy hell, did we just like gain a six, you know, or a true six man? Because to me, man, my favorite types of bench players are the guards that have the hilarious irrational confidence that always think they're open. But if he's, you know, nailing
like Jordan
shots,
Clarkson,
like there's Jordan
Clarkson, there's this tweet from Robbie Calland, who writes for UpRocks, I think. And he tweeted it like years and years ago. It was like, quote, it's Jordan Clarkson time. From Jordan Clarkson, and he'll just retweet it like all the time. It's so perfect.
Well, like I've said probably on the pod before, my favorite six man of all time is Nick Van Exel. I think he's just like, that's when I think of like what I want out of a bench player. I just want a guy that is just going to, that thinks whatever shot he's taking is the best shot, and he just knows it's going in regardless if it does. It's kind of why I liked Nick Young. I know he, but you know, he obviously didn't produce in the same fashion, but good on you, Trey Burke. Do it again. You know what? Ball don't lie.
I'm just worried because like not everybody understands that, like, oh fuck, he can shoot now. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm just worried about how defenses are going to, you know, react. Cause especially right now, like we only have like 8 games to play. Well, now 7, but you know, like things could be a little bit more reactionary. Mm-hmm. Because there's this much time to like make this much ground, like teams that we're playing against who are fighting for a playoff spot, like the Suns, somehow, you know, they're going to be trying to devise, you know, schemes against like our hot players. And obviously Trey has been fucking fire, you know, red hot. So.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of the opposite of red hot, Seth Curry, you know, for a guy that was just lighting it on fire throughout all the scrimmages, dude did not have a great game. That was fairly disappointing. I don't know what voodoo curse has finally come across the bubble into the Dallas Mavericks locker room that has cursed their free throw shooting more than anything. I don't know if that's prep. I don't know if that's concentration. Perhaps the cyber crowd is getting too loud. I don't know who gave the cyber crowd the little noodles to distract the Mavericks during their free throw games, but or their free throw attempts. But yeah, that's clearly something they need to work on. Late game situations have been a struggle all season. And as much as I want to be like, oh, it's a young team, it's like, yeah, but they're young and good. Like, that's something that we need to get better at.
And Luka just needs to become a better shooter. Like that's what it comes down to. Like he was 1 of 9 from 3. The only shot he made was the step back right in James Harden's face, which was nice, but I think that might have been his first 3 that he took, and then if he went 0 for 8 after that, but he definitely didn't make another one after that, and he was 5 for the line, and he's had free throw struggles. For a guy who's going to make his money on being on the stripe, you gotta make your free throws if you like earn them. Like, it doesn't do you any good to get to the line and then like miss.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, dude shot 11 for 27. I mean, 40% is pretty good, but like on that volume of shots, you know, like especially when you had Kristaps, you know, who shot about the same but shot exactly half of his shots, man. Like, Kristaps had it this game, and it's just, it's frustrating. Like, I don't know what they'll happen on that last play. You know, because early on, those last 2 minutes of regular time, of regulation time, they were, you know, going to Kristaps. Like, you know, Luka was actually passing the ball, like, not trying to play hero ball. And then, like, it just all crumbled real quick. Like,
I will say something that I didn't realize would be an advantage. And I think it's something that small ball offers that I didn't think of. We think of like bigs are like, all right, cool. These guys are bigger. They're taller. They're going to rebound better. And I think the Robert Covington tip-in shows that sometimes innovation or sometimes being strategically deviant can be a real advantage, because really he just snuck around Maxey. Like, Maxey should have boxed out 3 people for how big he is.
Maxey's also not great at boxing out.
Right. And it's like, well, what's the point of being 7 foot and being a big
if you
can't box out a small forward for a winning tip in, or the tip in that ultimately led into overtime and ultimately the loss?
My question is, why is Boban not in there? Like,
right.
You've literally like a timeout or whatever. Like, all you have to do is like get that rebound. Like, right. If they make the shot, fine. If they miss the shot, you get the rebound. Like, that's the only scenario that you can, like, not
it's
get
like,
it.
It's, like, between KP and Boban being, like, right there. Like, they could have boxed out all five.
They literally could have just, like, palmed it, like, from the rim, like Boban does.
Like how we saw him have that that alley-oop early in the game where Luka intentionally missed a three to get the assist.
Intentionally airballed a three to get the assist.
Intentionally airballed a three to get the assist. Like, it's great. You know, like,
I mean, we do have
speaking of Robert Covington, you know, he hit that dagger shot from three in overtime. You know what he was shooting on threes before that?
No idea.
Oh no.
0 of 8. That was his one three-pointer made.
Just a positive regression. It's just, something will go in.
He was 4 of 14 for the night. Half of his shots that he made were the dagger three in overtime that sealed it and the tip-in. Like, that's half of his 14 shots. Only two makes.
So, Bryce, I don't know if it's going to make you feel better, but that three you were talking about was Luka's first basket. And it came 7:35 in the first quarter, and he didn't hit another three after that.
And that's our research
one
guy.
One of two at the time.
This is our research guy talking. So. Well,
this is why we keep him in the shadows, so he has more time to play on his computer. And
speaking of free throw struggles, freaking Russell Westbrook was 4 of 8 from the free throw line.
Yeah. Russell, man, and that, 13 that
of
sense.
Okay, he was 1 of 3 from three, which that's honestly a good shooting percentage for him. He was 13 of 30 from the field. Of 30!
Bro, he shot so many like mid-range shots, and I was like, it's
oh my gosh. Like, he's,
but he's so good, guys. He's
like,
he's
he actually is normally really good at like the mid-range shot. When they were just like giving it to him, I think that like got in his head, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know, dude.
It's just what happens when the Mavs play one of the best centers in the league.
And Russell Westbrook.
He's the... the stats, man.
And then of course Harden. We know Harden as of right now, like, he's the one of the best free throw shooters like in the league, obviously. Like, shot 18,
he gets practice 21. That's for certain.
I'm for real. You know, he's had 21 attempts. You know, eventually Luka will be there and Luka will hopefully hit a similar clip, and when he does, I will forget all the Harden slander I had for years and years.
Oh, I won't. Like, it's funny, like, it's dicey because some people want to like frame it as like, oh, why are you like in favor of like Luka getting to the free throw line and doing all this stuff to like draw fouls but not Harden? Is it because Luka's white? I'm like, no, it's because I hate Houston.
Right. Well, I'm gonna start calling I'm gonna start calling James Harden Duck Hunt because he is just hunting for fouls this whole time. Just and it's just for me, his shooting, like. The dude, I mean, he's obviously an amazing talent, but they did a great little feature on SportsCenter where basically they show his shot when he is wide open and like he has like 2 feet from where he started his jump to where they go. But anytime it is contested, he jumps like 4 feet ahead of time. And it's just like, all right, it's one thing to like give a guy enough space to hit the shot. It's another thing where this person is no longer attempting to make a shot, he's just trying to draw a 3-point foul. And it's just like, if there's one thing that NBA can improve on is stoppage of time, foul calls, and free throws. Like, free throw attempts to me is just like, as much as that's very much a part of the game, like, the more we can limit that, the better. Because as far as an NBA fan, that's something I do appreciate actually about the NBA is for the most part, they're not calling the ticky-tack fouls. Like, they're not calling traveling or double dribble all that frequently.
Just because like James Harden.
Well, sure. But what's funny is like, because of just certain handling, they realize like, hey, maybe this might be against the rules, but ultimately it doesn't take away from our product or the excitement of the game, as opposed to the NFL where like, hey, this guy was holding on the opposite side of the field that didn't impact the play. Let's restart everything, give them 10 yards back. Like, and it just stops everything. And it's just, it's Because if there's anything fans love is a bureaucratic enforcement of the rules. Like, that's what gets us excited. So James Harden plays that game, and I'm tired of it. And you know what? Pick a haircut, bud.
Man, I was so surprised when they called that fucking palming call against us.
Right.
Like, that has been, like, in my brain since I saw it. I was like...
What, the blocking...
palming the ball.
Oh, like, yeah, that was so stupid. There was, I was sorry, like, your audio cut out because my internet was being weird.
That's fine. It's like, I don't think I've ever seen that ever be called.
It's, like, just called on Luka.
I was like, what the hell is going... I don't know, man. Like,
there
was
didn't we one... have two palmings? Tim Hardaway palmed.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there was one... There was a lot of fouls that James Harden gets that they were BS. But there was one really egregious one. I forgot who it was that was taking a charge.
I think it was I know what you're talking about.
I think it was DeLon
Wright.
Yeah, it was so egregious. Like, DeLon Wright's really good at drawing charges. But, like, they didn't challenge it at all. They didn't use their challenge at all. And I'm like, come on. Like, you got to use it for that. Like, you know that he didn't get all of these fouls. Like, just for once. And it would have been another foul on James Harden, and that would have been six, but it would have been like four fouls in the first like quarter or something, because he was racking them up real quick.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything else you want to say about this game that shouldn't have happened the way it did?
Make your dang free throws and just don't suck in the clutch.
We're going to start a GoFundMe to get Grant and I as the new free throw coaches for the Dallas Mavericks. We are we're basically like basketball. Like, if it doesn't require running or jumping, we're pretty good at basketball. All right.
So, speak for yourself. Listen, not requiring running or jumping. I mean, jumping. Yes, I can run.
Okay. He is at Edmund the Slayer. Shout him out. Tell him to, you know, put some vids of his 40 time. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, guys. This is Ruben again. You know, there's no shortage of action going on with our partners over at BetOnline.ag. You know, it's great because the sports world is slowing to come back, right? Especially with the NBA. And that's great for us because we are an NBA podcast and more specifically a Dallas Mavericks podcast. But that's not all, though. Like, at BetOnline.ag, they have UFC, they have boxing, they have NASCAR, which I know Grant is super excited about. And they have international soccer, meaning Bundesliga and EPL happening as of right now. And BetOnline has the best odds and lines for these upcoming games and matches. And if you need more, BetOnline, they do simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC games and matches happening live every day. And that's mostly for like devout gamblers who, you know, that's something they can check out. And it's cool because BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and they have the best props in the business. So you can visit betonline.ag on your computer, on your tablet, or on your phone, especially while you're listening to this podcast. And if you join now, you can receive a welcome bonus. So remember, betonline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Cool. All right, so we got tonight we have the Phoenix Suns, which should not be which shouldn't be a challenge, but who knows?
Oh, no, you jinxed it.
I know. Like I said, shouldn't be. I'm knocking on all the wood. Typically speaking, with the Phoenix Suns, we normally don't have to worry about clutch time minutes because we're usually up by a significant margin, but hell,
we're down.
The Suns have given the Mavs problems without cause for like years, and it makes me so mad. Like, no team pisses me off more than the Suns. Like, that opening day, like Luka's first game, right, the loss to the Suns, I was just like, are you kidding me, guys? Like, really? You're gonna do this? Luka's first game? But then they keep doing it, and they almost lost the Suns in Dirk's last home game. And I was like, don't you freaking dare. Right. Like, Jamal Crawford and 50 Burger ruin this night.
Yeah, I will say that Phoenix consistently has the nobody believes in us because most people shouldn't, but they that is earned. That is an un or an irrefutable inspiration that happens in sports all the time is just like a team that's just underestimated. Like I'm reminded of like, what was it? There was like a Bills game at one point. Sorry to throw this to football again, but like they were betting line of them was like, they were supposed to lose by 3 touchdowns. They ended up winning by 4. And it was just like the biggest betting swing of all time. And that's kind of how I think of the Phoenix Suns. They're the Buffalo Bills of the league. Occasionally good, but I can't place why. So we'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully we can get some free throw shooting corrected. Knowing Rick Carlisle, I bet that's the only thing they did. I bet we just drilled through that.
Or like clutch time scenarios or sure. Whatever. Like,
just getting used to it, man.
Yeah.
We've got some Dallas Wings action. I am excited. You know, I haven't really followed WNBA until really now. I'm super new to it. But I will say seeing successful entry passes has been just, it's just like seeing good passing, seeing like good ball movement. I will say like it is fundamental heaven for me when I'm watching WNBA. So, Bryce, you've covered the Wings either casually or you've written an article or so, if I'm not mistaken. So, who are some players that we should look out for on the Dallas Wings?
So, the main person to watch is Satu Sabali, who is she's positionless. She's literally like positionless. I don't know how to just, she plays power forward / small forward, but can literally play any position on a basketball court. She does like literally everything. Like defensively, she's extremely versatile. She's got rim protection. She's quick, like side to side, so she can cover like the faster guards and people like that. She's really good locking down the post. She handles the ball really well. Has not shot well from three this season. I think she's one of like 9 or something. Mm-hmm. So not a great start, but also Arike Ogunbowale is probably the Wings' best player. She was literally a walking bucket last year and should have won Rookie of the Year. Definitely going to be bitter about that for a long, long time.
Sure.
But she, like, all you need to know about her is she gets buckets. Like, she makes bad shots. She makes mid-range shots on the run, step-back shots. Like, she's very quick to the rim. Not super great defensively, and like, is much better a shooting guard role, which last year she was playing a lot of point guard because Skylar Diggins-Smith was out for the majority of the season. Mm-hmm. But now Mariah Jefferson's here. Mariah is a Dallas native. She was the main piece in the Liz Cambage trade. So she is a absolute rocket to the rim. She's just so quick, really good offensively at getting into the paint. Think like prime, like JJ Barea is kind of that, shares that similarity of just like always going to get to the rim, and a really good distributor as well.
Absolutely. I've seen some of the highlights where I'm just like, Jesus, that is splitting an offense. It's just like, it just looks like a regular drive. It's just like, oh, she's at the rim already. Like,
yeah, she's so fast. And then we just have three rookies. They have three of the top seven picks in this year's draft. Sabali was number 2. She mm-hmm. was also Oregon teammates with Sabrina Ionescu.
Cool.
Who is probably going to be out for a month. They played against each other for the first time ever. It was a really sweet moment that WNBA shared of like them like hugging after the game. The Wings won, by the way, by 13, so it sure. wasn't super close. But the best game Satu's had was against the Fever in a very big comeback win. Sabali had 23 points, which is the most for any wing this season. She also had 17 boards.
Holy hell.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was nuts. She went off. She was a block and a steal, I think, in every single game, and is averaging like 3 assists or maybe 2.5. But she's a really good passer as well. She can run the pick and roll as someone who's 6'4", which is about like some power forward size or height for a WNBA player.
That's something I wanted to ask is, what are some of the main differences of the WNBA as far as like size and like maybe pace wise that that a casual person wouldn't be aware of ahead of time?
So for centers in the NBA, you think of like 7 foot is like the average, but like, sure. there's not a lot of 7 foot women.
Sure.
In the WNBA. I'm looking up how tall Brittany Griner is because I think she's the tallest WNBA player. Also, she's from Houston. Okay, she's 6'8", and I know Liz Cambage is also 6'8". So I think that's like the tallest player. So 6'4 is pretty tall. Sure. Most of the guards are like 5'10 or something. They're not like that much shorter than like NBA guard. It's just like the range is right. smaller.
Sure,
there's more post play as well. It's more. It's not like the two bigs. It's still developing like a little differently than the NBA is. Like the NBA usually have like just one big nowadays, but in like the mid 2000s or 2010-ish, I think still you had teams that were running out too big. So there's a lot more post play, a lot more ball movement, less ISO hero ball stuff in the NBA.
That's the thing that I find is so interesting is like, you know, the criticisms I heard of the WNBA is just like, it's just like, oh, it's just not as explosive as NBA. I'm like, well, if the only thing you're looking for is just freak athleticism and nothing else, then like, yeah, you're probably not going to enjoy the WNBA. But if you like watching someone like Luka play, which as much as I love that boy, as much as I'm so happy I share part of his name, he is not a freak athlete. Like there's a lot of times he makes moves on the court that, like I said, that remind me of Larry Bird in the sense that he's not particularly faster or more explosive, but he just knows where to go and just gets the ball where it needs to go. And it makes a great basketball play, which is something I think the NBA can use more of, is just guys that are just making smarter plays. And that's where you're seeing guys like Jokic just, you know, that just look like a gigantic fat eighth grader, but he's just amazing at getting the ball to where it needs to go. So
that's exactly what he looks like. Gosh, it's so on point.
Well, not right now though. He's slimmed down a little bit.
Yeah, he is slim.
He's slim thick now.
Yeah, slim thick. Which is different from skinny fat. I have heard that.
It is very different.
Yeah, it is different.
But yeah, guys, the wings are fun. They're young. There are three rookies. Satu Sabli is the main one. Bella Allery, I think she was the fifth overall pick. She's out of Princeton. She's a power forward. Got some defensive versatility, can shoot threes, has a really solid post offense. And then Tyasha Harris, who is out of South Carolina. They've got two legit point guards. And so they're basically doing – I forgot which two players it was that Rick Carlisle did the thing where he like mirrored their minutes of like they would play together.
Sure.
I don't remember who it is, but they're doing that like exactly to a T. So whenever Mariah Jefferson is on the floor, Tyasha Harris is not, and then vice versa. So they've always got one good point guard running the show.
Excellent. Well, I will definitely be watching some more Dallas Wings basketball for certain because God knows it's better than the MLB. So either way, so we won't talk the Texas Strangers right now.
Hey guys, just wanted to remind you that BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts. Hey, men, start taking notes because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, and the water-resistant technology allows you to even shave in the shower. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
All right, Ruben, I heard we got some questions.
We do. We got some questions. So we actually got a shit ton of questions, probably because, you know, the NBA is back officially. So
we are a bit more relevant now.
I know. We're probably going to get more questions going forward.
Again,
guys, if you guys send questions that are about the same, I'm just going to combine them. It didn't happen this week, but I think going forward, we're just going to, you know, shout out both people who asked basically the same question.
Hey, Ruben, real quick, can you shout out everybody? We had the most listens, something or other. Didn't we have like the most listens or most downloads in a month? Something like that.
So, yeah. So, actually, guys, we broke our record since we joined Armchair with the most downloads we've had in a month. a lot of that's obviously because the NBA is back. NBA was coming back. NBA is here now. We really appreciate every single one of you guys who download. We've had downloads from China, from Canada, definitely Slovenia, Germany, Croatia. It's a bunch of random spots, France, you know. So thank you guys very much for, you know, listening to us and joining us and, you know, engaging with us too on Twitter. Like, I know this weekend, Tim, who isn't on, really did a lot of engagement stuff on the Twitter account, the_MFFLs. You know, just getting to talk to you guys and getting to know you guys more, and just keep doing what you guys are doing, man. Like, we really appreciate you guys.
Shout out the world.
The world, the entire world. So, all right, let's get some questions, guys. So, first question comes from Lane, our good bud Lane. He asks, what's something that you are proud of yet haven't really had a chance to talk about? So I'm going to go first. I think the only person in this, like, this chat that will appreciate this is Bryce. I'm super proud that the Texas Rangers in Red Road, the show, have gone back to back to back to back in World Series titles.
So proud of you.
Because of me. Because of my player. It's something that I don't talk about often, like, on any of my Twitter accounts. Just
because no one cares. Except for, like two people.
Like, I'll text Bryce. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, but,
I get upset because, like, the Rangers, like, in my road of the show, yeah, we're talking about two different road of the show players. So,
okay. So this is all video games. You're saying is false.
the fake Rangers traded for Fernando Tatis, who at this point is the best player in baseball, like, in this 2024 simulation. But, like, it's like a month into the season, he's hitting like 110 or something, and I'm like, that's not how this works. He's supposed to be good. Stop making him be bad. Like, stop it.
I've had that same problem with 2K, where I will just, like, get a player that just has, like, something where it's just, like, they hit the right potential, and it's just, like, I will just love that player unconditionally. It's like, no, guys, Greenvis Vasquez is going to be really good, like, because he just happened to be good on 2K or something.
Does anyone have anything to share for this one?
Grant, not proud of anything.
I got my 10th online NASCAR Heat 5 win last night. I got my 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th win.
Nicely done.
Yeah, dude. Shit.
Very nice.
A little run right there.
Well, a personal thing for me, I just moved into my first, like, my own apartment. It's the first time that I have been approved for a lease without a cosign, so I got to check that off the bucket list. So
that's nice.
Yeah. ATX, what's up?
I'm proud of the I've had a couple of things that I wrote on, like, Sunday night when I was working for the news. And one of them was that really good Wings piece about Greg Bibb and arguing with Ted Cruz. And I got to talk about Ted Cruz's testicular fortitude in a real article. So that was nice. And then this other, like, thing that I wrote that was real quick about Zeke Elliott giving shoes and equipment to South Oak Cliffs football team. That made it on the front page of, like, the actual morning news website.
Look so at this, like, guy.
Yeah.
A real hero, a real human being, Bryce Patterick.
See, next question comes from James, of course.
Oh, God.
James, it's not too bad, I don't think. It's more of a tongue twister.
Oh, that's right.
How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's? That's pretty good.
Seven.
Seven, just throwing a number out there.
Ann Perkins.
I think you get away with one.
He's very handsome and very charming. I think he could get away with seven.
I was thinking, like, about,
you know what? Here you go, Rob Lowe. Just take whatever you want. Your name
How many
is Lowe.
Lowe's could Rob Lowe buy?
Yeah.
How much
does a Lowe's franchise cost? I mean, like, it's got to be huge, right?
Because do the research, like, Grant.
I don't know. Maybe I bet the prices are pretty low.
Oh, there you go. We've now reached an all-time low here on the Bison's pod. So, thank you, James.
I don't know an all-time low song. Otherwise, I would have referenced it there.
Oh, dude, I was thinking we should start a pop Maria punk band. That's just. But I don't know if Rob Lowe has, like, an iconic, like, character that you could dress up as? Like, how would you go to a Halloween party dressed as Rob Lowe?
Just be Chris Traeger, be like super positive and like have like running stuff.
Totally. Yeah.
You have to be in shape and like very handsome, which neither of those things am I going to do.
Yeah. I was just like, so we're out. Okay. Got it.
Let's see. Next question comes from Emils. I hope I'm saying your name right, dude. Emil says, what do you think of the NBA's bubble in Orlando? Have you done a good job? And do you think there's anything they should work on? I think it's awesome. I think it's been a great thing so far. They've proven that if you wear masks and social distance, you know,
and frequently test,
like, you know, they can, MLB and the world and the US, but you know, they've proven if you do all that, that good things can happen and people can play basketball and stuff like that. The only thing I wish they wouldn't work on is that I wish they would call me about being a fan on those screens. I'm awaiting that call. I've signed up and I want to be on so bad because I want to test my theory about what happens if you throw up a middle finger. I want to see if they like kick you out.
You are asking explicitly to violate their terms and policies. I love this.
I just want to see if they'll find it. You know, like I saw like Dirk. I saw Dirk was in a, you know, was in a game the other day. Like a cutout.
It wasn't actually Dirk. I think it was just a picture of Dirk.
I know it was a cutout, but you know, just like I saw Dirk.
Like
was
multiple
there.
Cutouts. No, it was like Dirk.
Dirk. Yeah, that's just how slow he is now.
Just Dirk, and you know. 2005 jersey. Yeah.
I have one main issue with the bubble. It's that there was a quadruple header on ESPN and Stan Van Gundy called multiple games. Get him off my television. Make it
He's
stop.
Good. I like no. Stan Van Gundy.
No.
You know Wait, who
no,
I like think
Jeff,
is overrated?
No, Jeff Van Gundy. Excuse me. Stan Van Gundy is a gosh darn delight and I love him. Van Gundy can shut up and keep shutting up for forever. I am so sick of everything he has to say. But like, even when he makes good points and has like insightful things, I'm like, I hate you so much that I don't even appreciate this thing that you're doing. And you know, it's just like Mike Breen is a delight. He is a treasure. He is absolutely deserving of being the lead on like ESPN broadcasts and in the finals. Like when he says "bang," I feel it in my soul.
Yes.
But like him and Mark Jackson. Like Mike Breen or not Mike Breen Van Gundy and Jackson like just ruin everything good that he does, and it makes me so sad that Doris Burke is right there. She's right there.
She's so good.
Just put her on the main broadcast.
She's so entertaining, and like the thing that I think that makes Doris Burke that much better is when she like she'll like stumble upon some subject where she goes like, you know, I'm not really sure, but this is what I think. Like she still like adds insight to things, as opposed to Van Gundy that he has ESPN disease where it's like I'm gonna say a thing that I think isn't being talked about and consider it insightful. You know, I really think that Paul George is become underrated. I'm like, he was third in MVP voting last year. How is that underrated, asshole? Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's because he was a Houston coach, and I will just never.
You know, he's just so the one thing like really like just sent me over the edge on him was it was when DeAndre Jordan came like his first game like against the Mavs in Dallas after he like spurned the thing, and it was right in the middle of like there was also the Greg Hardy thing going on. He's like, you know what, Dallas fans are like terrible, like they'll cheer for Greg Hardy who like is a domestic abuser, but they'll boo DeAndre Jordan for not signing with their team. I'm like, what is that
also like
he went off for like the whole game on that. It was so awful.
Well, it's also just like it's a little different in football where you just want to see your team do well. But like, yeah, if we want to talk about the differences of like how ethically questionable the NFL is versus the NBA, those are two completely different conversations. And it's also like,
not all Mavs fans are Cowboys fans.
Right.
And also like not all of them are cheering Greg Hardy.
Right.
And like, yes, they're allowed to boo this guy who was an a-hole and like was stupid in the way he went about like allegedly I'm going to sign with you guys. And then just out of nowhere, I'm going to lock myself in a house and be a petulant 6-year-old and take pictures of the chair against the door and say that Mark Cuban is driving around frantic around the city of Houston trying to call. Like, no. Like, they're allowed to boo him. Yeah, and but he also sucked while he was here, so they're allowed to boo him double.
But also, like, which cheers are for Greg Hardy? You know what I mean? Like it's not like someone's just like, and now starting. Like, it's like, that's just, anyways, different thing. Sorry. The bubble's been great. I'm every time I watch NBA basketball, I'm like, I'm just so thankful this is here, and considering the different options and watching all of these sporting events that are in empty stadiums, this is the best way we could have hoped for it. So thanks for the question. Emile's?
Yeah. Grant, do you have anything to add?
So there's way too much like sliding around. I don't know what's on the courts, but everyone's falling and everyone's sliding, and it scares the shit out of me.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Other that's than true, that, yeah. no, it's perfect.
That's true.
Also, TJ Warren dropped 54 in an NBA game.
On four free throws.
A good team.
Four free throws.
That's crazy, dude.
He hit nine threes. The dude could not hit threes like 2 years ago. He was like just elite, like mid range, and like now he hits threes and hit.
The Suns gave up. The Suns gave up money for him, bro. Like that was it.
That was nuts. And now he's like very good at basketball.
Well, right.
He's the Pacers' leading scorer. I mentioned that last week. Pacers' leading scorer.
Yeah, he did. Awesome. All right. Let's see. Next question comes from Jedi Master Shea, and he asked, and I think that we should make this a group thing. And I'm actually going to make a timer. Okay. I'm going to pull up a timer so we can do this.
Oh man, professional.
Yeah, because I want to see, I don't know if you guys read the question, but you want to see how many U.S. states can we name?
Kansas City.
So I'm going to put a minute, I'm going to put a minute on here.
Oh, God.
I'm going to put a minute on here, and I'm going to...
Are we just going to all shout it out?
No, I'm going to try to roundtable it as much as possible, but...
okay, so...
who's starting then?
Yeah, who's starting?
I'll start.
Okay, so you're I'll ready? Go next.
You're going to name all the easy ones, screw you.
Okay, me, Don, Bryce, and then Grant.
Okay.
So just go name. Just name one and go on. Ray.
Ray.
Okay. Texas.
California.
Oklahoma.
Idaho.
Missouri.
Massachusetts.
New Hampshire.
Iowa.
Wyoming.
Washington.
Illinois.
Alaska. Shout out Edmund.
Ohio.
Florida.
Hawaii.
There are more. New York.
Vermont.
New Mexico.
Rhode Island.
Maryland.
Oh God, it's getting hard now. Do we say Arizona yet?
No.
No.
Okay, cool.
Connecticut.
Colorado.
Delaware.
Oh.
God damn it.
The first state.
Wisconsin.
North Dakota.
Oregon.
Timer.
There we go.
South Dakota.
Timer.
I don't think we got any of the Carolinas. That I'm thinking, or
oh, what do you think of the Carolinas? God damn it. I'm sorry.
Virginia's. How did I not say Alabama? What's wrong with
you? If you're not listening, I'm
sorry. I freaking live there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We named like 26, so half of them.
Which would be good. In a minute.
Yeah, that's like just under, you know, 2 seconds.
We would have gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we actually time, I just wanted to time it.
If Ruben hadn't taken his sweet time on every answer.
Stop. You're so smart. Fuck you. Okay.
We're so try smart. Finding Wyoming on a map. I can never do it.
It's like top left to the right-ish.
Yeah. It's like under Montana. That's where it is.
I need to take directions from Grant next time I'm on vacation.
Hold on.
Just go top left.
There we go.
Oh, there's a map behind us. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's under it's under Montana. God,
dude. Yeah, I was cheating. Y'all didn't see that? I was
But can you actually like read the states or whatever?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I was about to say, what the hell, guys? All right, hold on.
It's also backwards on your screen, so, or at least on mine.
I don't know. I like Florida mainly because it looks like we're peeing on Cuba.
Let's see. Wow. Next question comes from Michael. Michael asks, at this point, it seems that we're playing the Clippers, but if you had to pick a first-round opponent between Houston, Denver, Utah, or OKC, who would it be? I'm going to let you guys answer this one.
Utah, Corona's avenge.
Yes.
Yeah, Utah definitely looks the worst out of all those teams.
Yeah.
But, it'd be so fun to play Denver.
Without Bogdanovich, like, yeah, they're just a much worse team. They don't have the shooting. They're just
– yeah.
It feels like they're, like, two players light.
Yeah, he completely changed their offense this season. Mm-hmm. So cool. Now so it's just back to, like, the stalling offense that they had the last 2 years.
That was actually a fun game. It's like, how do you say your name as if it's Bogdan Bogdanovich? So, for example, I would be Don Vanovich, something like that.
Don Donovich.
Don Donovich. Yeah.
I like this game, but his name is Bojan Bogdanovich.
Bojan, forgive me. Sorry. I was.
But the joke was I accidentally called him Bojan Bojanovich.
Oh, that's right. Shout out G-Pong.
All right.
We are now Bloops and Hefeweizens.
So yeah, I think Utah is the unanimous choice here between everybody. So
I don't like the Denver. I really like Bol Bol. I think he's really good. Also, want someone to just like jam on Michael Porter Jr.'s face. Mm. Like he's always had like kind of a hateable face. Like he's got that kind of like smug douchey look. And now that he's like a vaccine truther, I'm like, someone just destroy that kid. Also,
he also tweeted Blue Lives Matter, and he did something else.
Oh, he like crapped on Luka. He said Luka was gonna be super overrated. Like,
oh yeah, well, I mean,
stuff. That was nothing. Like, that's not like a real issue.
Well, he did like the COVID thing, right? He was like, oh, it's not.
Yeah, real. No, he was like talking about like I've never been vaccinated, and like vaccines or give you whatever.
But college is required to be vaccinated.
Yeah,
so. Yeah.
I will say like there's something about Michael Porter Jr. that just screams MTV reality show.
It really
which makes me hate him even more.
Yeah, but in all honesty, I hope someone like pulls him aside, has a genuine conversation like, look, you're being an idiot. Like, this is science. This is people's lives. Like, if you're a vaccine truther, don't go look up some actual science. You know why we're having this? It's because we don't have a vaccine. Like, that's why we are in a pandemic. Why you haven't seen your friends or you shouldn't have seen your friends in like 6 months. Like,
I know, I haven't seen you guys in
makes me wish that Kat was at the bubble, because that's exactly who should dunk on Michael Porter Jr. because his mom passed due to coronavirus complications. Yeah. So it's like, hey, you know this is all a hoax. I would like to see my mom again. That's not happening.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that pisses me off about this entire thing. Sorry to go on this tangent, but basically like, there's, it's one thing for some people to, it's just the common cold. I'm like, for a lot of people, yeah, that's what that is. I currently have a coworker that's on month two of not being able to take care of her kid. Okay. That's not a hoax. She's not doing that because it's fun. She's not doing that because this virus is nothing. It's like there's just so many different variables of what this thing can do, and we haven't figured it out yet. And it's like, so wear your goddamn mask and,
wash your
coughing.
Hands.
Yeah, quit coughing on people. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, take your vaccines because there's some people who can't, and they need herd immunity, aka everyone who's healthy and can have vaccines to be vaccinated.
Right.
So.
What I would like for everyone is to have Colin Cowherd immunity. I couldn't say that word correctly. All right. Dumb question.
Next question. All right. See,
I love that we turned who do we want the Mavs to play into like dunking on vaccine truthers.
Second someone brought up
Michael Porter Jr.
Bro, that was it. I was like, fuck, here we go. Okay. Yeah. Next question comes from Tyler Adams. Tyler Adams says, with focus on everyone and fan base on a third star, why is there no mention of securing a lockdown defender via trade / free agency?
It's less sexy to talk about.
Yeah, that's why people are talking about. I disagree, Tyler. You know that I have been longing for a defensive anything on the Mavs for the last like 15 years. So
I mean, they have Dorian, but it's not enough.
Oh, yes, it's not.
Tim Hardaway Jr. is an adequate defender, but...
I mean, we have the LeBron Slayer and J.J. Barea, but he can only so much.
Yeah, he's only really great at defending the post, though.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, his blocking ability, insane.
But yeah, the Mavs, Mavs philosophy on defense this year has been why defense win offense.
Exactly. But I mean, like,
it's a fun defensive strategy, though. Very fun.
Hey, man, I love 150 points in a game. It's a good day.
Same.
I mean, 150
points in a loss.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Okay. Anyway. No, but I do think it's like, just because it's just not sexy to talk about. And you know, it is something that we probably do need to look into in free agency or trade.
It's also,
you know,
sorry, I think like getting third star is like perfect rumor mill fodder. What's not is normally like good basketball sense personnel trades. Like that's usually not like, we'll talk about that. We definitely want to have those conversations, but you know, your casual Mavs fan is just, who's another player I could get super excited about? That's going to be obvious how good they are. So let's get Bradley Beal here, or let's get, you know, some of those. Let's get Giannis here.
Giannis,
forget it.
Yeah, no, it's just so annoying to have those I can't even have those conversations with people because they're like, what if we trade like, I don't know, Justin Jackson for Bradley Beal? Why wouldn't the Wizards? It's just the trade packages are never like reasonable, or they like go too far. It's like, what if we trade Luka and Kristaps for Bradley Beal? Would that be enough to get him here? Like, yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the Wizards would do that.
You think they would? You think they'd pitch in John Wall too?
I don't know.
Let's see. Next question. So he's a bad mofo asked two questions.
Okay.
So the first one that we're going to cover is, what is it going to take for Luka to be a consistent free throw shooter? Practice.
Dirk's going to have to yell at him.
Some sort of wizard's blessing. Some sort of magical spell, perhaps. We haven't ruled out conjuring. Maybe we could just, you know, find a way of possessing his hands during a free throw. I don't know. We haven't explored all the options yet.
I have actually a serious. I think someone needs to like challenge him competitively, like because that's like that we've seen like in moments where like when he wants something really badly, he will go get it and make it happen. Like,
I got it.
Once he got that switch on Harden, like he's like, I'm gonna make this shot. So like maybe if like I don't know.
Let's promise him Fortnite skins if he increases his free throws. Like we'll pay for all of his microtransactions on Fortnite if he starts making his free throws. We'll start a GoFundMe.
No, Mark Cuban will pay for his stuff.
I know.
That's a contract bonus. Write that into his
contract bonus. Yeah, you get unlimited skins in Fortnite or whatever. I don't know what Fortnite is.
Lock him in a dark gym with Dawn and promise him Fortnite skins, and I guarantee you he'll be
90%. Have you been reading my fan fiction of me locking Luka in my dark room talking about Fortnite?
I can't read.
Sorry.
All right. So he also asks, this is a good one, actually. I think I like this one a lot. Is Carlisle afraid of restraining Luka? Ooh. I mean, at critical times, Luka seems to be out of control, turning the ball over, with mental breakdowns and bad shot selection. How will he discipline Luka to help him be a smarter / wiser shot taker and ball controller?
I think part of that is when it comes to being a good coach and coaching someone as young as Luka, sometimes letting him fuck up is what's going to make him the better player long-term. And so that's really so as much as we like to think, you made a turnover, your ass is on the bench. It's like, no, like he'll give that scolding dad look at Luka, but it's also like that's how you learn. That's what you need, those reps. Like, you know, we can't anticipate championship in year two, as much as I'm very much pulling for it and rooting for it. But that's what happens to a natural player's progression, is they got to suck in certain points and they need to know what they need to improve on, rather than just be like, well, I'm great at everything now.
Also, the bar for Luka has been set so, and like, also, like, that's what Rick Carlisle has done in the past, and it is like to the like the detriment of players a lot of times. Like,
totally,
he always had a very tough time like letting the reins go. Like, even when Jason Kidd got here, like, he still had trouble letting a guy who was going to be a Hall of Famer, like, letting him just like run the offense as opposed to like micromanaging and calling a bunch of plays, and like, that's why he hasn't done well with like young players traditionally. He's gotten much better about that. That's a huge credit to him, for guys who are such like basketball geniuses to like let the reins go a little bit is very tough. And like, he recognized very early on that like Luka is very smart, and also he's still like 21. Like, he is he's so young, and he put up a 28 point triple double and everyone's like, wow, Luka, you suck ass so much. Like, that's what the bar has become.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Next question. That was a good question for him.
Great question, buddy.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Tyler Edsel. Tyler asks, and this is for Grant mostly, because I know Grant is, yeah, he just turned around. can KP average more points per game than Luka in these 8 games?
Yes, especially if he keeps just lighting it up from the first quarter every single game. Absolutely, he can.
So I think he gets 11 free throws.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he can, but that's only because you ask Porzingis to do two things on the court: protect the rim and shoot the ball. You ask Luka to do a lot more, and Porzingis has looked amazing from, you know, he's been posting up, fading away. He's been doing it all. So I mean, I think he could easily average more in the first 8 games. But
seeing,
I mean,
a 7-footer pull off a mid-range 1-foot fadeaway just brought a tear to my eye. It was
especially so Dirk, you can't really see because so Dirk shoots him like this, mm-hmm. like Dirk's fading slanted. Back like this. Porzingis is like this when he shoots back.
Yeah, it's he's definitely like more sideways. Horizontal. Yeah,
great. All right, good question. Let's see. Oh wait, no, that wasn't okay. Here we go. This one comes from a Foki Pokey. I love that name. Okay.
Did he turn himself around?
Sorry, Fico Pokey. So he asks, what state would you like to visit the most? So I'm trying to think of states that I haven't been to yet.
State of mind?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think of states I haven't been to yet. Definitely, I think Washington State. Like just like the general Pacific Northwest. Would be super chill to go to.
I was going to say why? Portland, Oregon, but it's probably a little dicey right now. So
traveling anywhere right now is dicey.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But like, what's there to do in Washington? Just wondering.
It's pretty.
You know,
a lot of
scenery.
So you're saying there's a lot of green around Washington?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
It's also, I mean, like, it's where the Twilight films were shot. So
I'm sold.
I think it was all like in Washington State. It doesn't matter. I don't know.
Yeah, it's set in like Seattle, I think.
I don't know. Oh yeah, I'd like to go to Washington.
Twilight guy.
What about you guys?
I'll go to Washington with you.
All right, I'll do it. In like a year from now, though.
Yeah.
Oh, Edmund actually lives in Washington now. He doesn't live in Alaska anymore, so that's perfect.
Okay.
Hawaii.
Hawaii's
awesome.
Yeah, I haven't been.
So okay, cool. Let's see. Next question comes from Justin Barnett. Justin asks, is catching the Thunder the only realistic way to move into the sixth seed after last night? Oh, this is the game. So
the Houston game, yeah.
I mean, like catching the team in front of you, yes, that's how you do that. Oh my gosh.
So yes.
We're not catching the Thunder. If anything, the Thunder are moving up. We're catching the Jazz if we catch anybody. Because the Thunder, if y'all watched yesterday, look fucking amazing. The Jazz look like they got really lucky against New Orleans and then, you know, aren't that good.
New Orleans does not look good. And it's just like, I know they're just trying to force some Zion minutes so they can get some return on their investment on all their timing they've been putting into
them. That's literally the whole reason that they have a play-in game is literally because Zion. Like, that's the only good thing.
It's going to end up being Grizzlies Blazers too.
I am all about Zion's RBF right now, though. Like, he has just looked absolutely pissed in every cut that goes to him. It's like he does not want
to
be there.
I've watched a lot of Pelicans games because I cover them I do social media for them for Fox. And they are so bad defensively. It is unreal. And like, I still can't explain it because they have so many good individual defenders. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, Lonzo Ball is a good defender. Jrue Holiday is a very elite defender. Brandon Ingram has shown flashes of being okay. And like, Zion is a very good defender. And Derek Favors is like the whole difference in their team. Like, their defense is trash in general. Without Derek Favors, it's like anybody can just get anywhere and anything they want on them at any time.
Seems more like effort is the issue more than it is like actual skill. Like, it just, it seems like they're all there like, why are we, it almost seems like they've quit already. And that's what I perceived.
What it is.
Digital spaces.
That's what it looked like yesterday.
NBA fucked up there, dude.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, this is what you get for calling us stupid fucking Pelicans. You could have gone with the New Orleans Voodoo. You could have gone with the New Orleans Jazz and just taken it from Utah. But no.
Like, there is no Pelicans. Jazz in Utah. I'm pretty sure that
there's no music in Utah.
I'm pretty sure it's like a sin.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry to any of our Mormon listeners.
Oh, just kidding. I love you, Mormons.
No, let's see. Next question. Next question comes from Amit. So Amit asks, is it weird to want the Mavs to play the Clippers and tough it out, learn to play different ways, etc., even if it's a sweep rather than the Denver Jazz, in which we will average 130 points per game, but not really forced to do anything differently and probably still lose the series? Still lose the series, if that makes sense. So basically, is it better for us to play the Clippers or play and like learn through there, like learn trial by fire, or play maybe like a Denver Jazz team and maybe do okay, but you know, either win the series or narrowly lose it or something like that?
Honestly, I think it might be better to get their crap rocked. I mean,
yeah,
like every young team needs like a series like that. Like the Bulls had it when they came up against the Pistons at the height of their power. The Pistons got it against whatever, the Celtics or whatever. Like these dynasties, yeah, like they need series that like check them. Like the Heat needed the series against the Mavs and to like help them self-actualize or whatever. Like every like young core like needs this. And so whether it happens, like if they, even if they do get in the first round and they win, like they're gonna get their crap rocked by somebody. Like
totally,
it'd be nice to have them like win their first playoff series since the title. Literally since the title, they haven't won a playoff series since then. They've even been in one since 2016. So either way, it's going to be big. Like back the last time the Mavs had a playoff game, Dirk was still like basically in his prime.
Yeah,
like,
still a starting NBA player,
mobile. Like
yeah,
you know, I think that, man, I think no matter what, it's going to be tough. Like no matter who we go up against, just because we're a young team, would it be better if we like, you know, got rocked by the Clippers? I mean, I can't really say. I think no matter what, like if we're to lose, I think no matter what, like wherever we lose in this, in the final, in the playoffs, it's going to be like a learning experience for the guys. And then, you know, the front office kind of make some decisions and kind of see like what we need to do and whether we retain these guys going next year or maybe make a few trades to get, you know, players who have a skill set that somehow better complements KP and Luka as of right now. You know, it kind of just depends. I mean, I don't know. I think I would rather them fight. So let's see. I think they have a better chance for that against like the Jazz or the Nuggets. So
I'm all for, you know, learning from past mistakes and like seeing what that next level needs to be. Because when I watch the Clippers play, I'm like, that's just a complete dominant basketball team. And you know, I want to see Luka versus Paul George and Kawhi. I want to see, like, I want him to look at that and go, okay, that's where I need to get to in order to be, you know, considered one of the best players. Because I think that's important to him. And I think, it, you know,
yeah,
that's what I'd rather see. But also, I mean, hey, I think just, I just love watching Jokic play. So if we're going to play one series and be out, I mean, I would be happy with either of those.
What do you think, Grant?
Or the Mavs could just, hear me out, just win everything and sweep the Bucks in back-to-back finals, yeah, so badly that Giannis comes to Dallas, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't beat him, join him.
Yeah.
It's a realistic option.
What do you have, any takes, Grant?
I agree with Bryce. Let's just win and get Giannis.
Okay, there we go. Perfect. All right. Thank you, Amit. That's awesome, man. That's a good question. Yusuf asks, are we going to make the playoffs? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Okay. We have one day
here. A steady balance of skepticism here on the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast.
All right. Thank you, Yusuf. Let's see. Okay. Next question comes from Stanley. Stanley asks, do you think our late game struggles are because we rely on Luka too much and put too much pressure on him? Or is it the coaching, i.e. not having Trey Burke in last night, for example, or just a combination of both? I think it's a combo of both. You know, I think like, you know, there are certain aspects where I'm like, hey, like, you know, Boban should have been, or maybe Trey should have been instead of Seth, you know, stuff like that. You know, and on top of that, I think Luka puts too much pressure like on himself a lot of the times, where he's just like, okay, like I exceeded in, like, you know, I exceeded in Spain, you know, like I did really well my first year. Like I was hitting all these clutch shots my first year. Like this is a weird, it's a very weird, like, version of a sophomore slump where it's just like
triple double sophomore slump,
you know, where it's just like, oh shit. Like, you know, I'm doing all these awesome things, but I just can't fucking close out games. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little bit both, you know, a little bit of X's and O's on Carlisle's point. And I do think that Luka, maybe not like the team or us as fans put too much pressure on him, but I think he puts too much pressure on himself in the long run. So
I think it kind of comes back to that old, that the earlier question as far as questioning Carlisle taking the reins off of him. But really, like, I don't know. It's, if you look at it from a coach's perspective, you know, if this was like desperation, like Carlisle's playing for his next contract thing, maybe he does go the more conservative, let's play the veterans route. But, you know, obviously they're here for the long haul. They're looking longer term. So it's better to develop a young player that is a star already and let him make mistakes and go over it and grow from it than it is to, you know, trust the ball in Boban's hands so we can get maybe one more win. Like, it's like these, you know, just one win doesn't make a season. And just, you know, those series of mistakes and missed opportunities, I think, will ultimately lead to long-term success.
Bryce Grant?
Yes.
Sorry, I was just reading. Apparently, Jimmy Butler is having some issue. He missed practice today, and Jay Crowder said something about a quarantine. So I did not hear that question. I was reading.
Oh, right, row.
It's okay. I was just reiterating what I said earlier.
I was watching a video of my friend's French Bulldog.
I'm very glad that we are. I hope this is not the state of our audience where even our podcast hosts don't get shit I was saying.
I was trying to look something up on Twitter, then I forgot because I got distracted by a good dog.
Yeah, I was just trying to break news.
No, good looking out there, bud.
Well, Stanley, thank you for the question. At least two of us were paying
attention. Y'all also took all the good answers, so.
Yeah.
I was always planning for my answer to be just yes.
All right, here's a good one. This is from Amog. Okay. So he asks, why haven't the Mavs hired Dirk as their free throw coach yet?
He's still leading
because they're waiting for that Hall of Fame nomination to go through before they hire him.
That's, yeah. Also, I think he's just tired, bro. If I was playing ball for 21 years, bro, I'd be like, fuck this. I just want to.
He's supposed to hang out with his kids.
Yeah, he's too busy pulling Darren Williams out of busy being pulled out of ditches by Darren Williams.
he's such an Escalade off-roading.
That made me so happy. Like, seeing, I was like, oh my god, Dirk. He's so human.
I mean, he would be a good free throw coach, bro. He is an amazing free thrower.
Hey, instead of missing, just freaking make it, you idiots. I did. So just do that. Practice it a million times with Holger yelling at you.
Let's see. Last question comes from Tony Campos. And this is actually for me, guys. So, and speaking of
The Hoops of Hefeweizen's podcast. Here's Ruben that's going to just take this one, I guess.
Well, I'm saying, like, if you guys have questions for specific, like, you know, members of the podcast, like, you can send them. I can't guarantee that we'll be on the pod, but
we're all high and mighty with a specific shout out. Okay, I see where he's gone to his Ruben's head.
Can't wait till I get a blue check so I can keep
Get the fuck out of here. Okay, so Tony,
can a bot get a blue check?
No, it cannot.
Fuck you guys. Anyway, so Tony asked, what part of Mexico are you from? Nice to see another big time Mexican Mavs fans. So Tony, soy de Texas, pero mi papá es de San Luis Potosí y mi mamá es de Mérida in Yucatán. So growing up, it was interesting because those are two very different parts of Mexico, as you know. San Luis Potosí is more in the mountains, and Mérida is like on the coast, in the south. Two very different dialects, actually, growing up. You could kind of hear it. I could kind of hear it growing up between, like, my grandparents, my mom's side, and my dad. And on top of that, like, so, like, my Spanish isn't that good just because for a number of reasons, really. First and foremost, I grew up having a speech impediment, like a speech kind of thing that I had to go to therapy for to get, you know, figured out. So there's that. The two dialect thing really messed me up. Like, there are certain words that my dad would say that my mom had no idea what it meant, you know, just because it's different dialects. And then my grandparents on my mom's side moved here in the 70s. Well, my dad came here in like the 85 or 86. And so when my mom was here, like she grew up basically American because she was like 2 years old at the time. And my grandfather had a lot of issues like trying to find work at the time and trying to like become assimilated with the culture. So when I was born, they were like, hey, like don't teach him Spanish because, you know, I had such a hard time finding, you know, being okay, like being a Mexican in America at the time. So yeah, you know, so my Spanish isn't that well. I can definitely translate and type out Spanish a lot better than I can speak it. I consider myself partly bilingual only because those goddamn future tenses get me every single time. it's just, I don't know, just it, the rules are, once you get the rules down there, it's a lot more simple than English, but I'm going to keep trying. So thanks for the question, man.
Right on.
Dude, I'm from the Dallas part of Mexico, in case you were asking.
Yes.
just to throw a wrench in the gears.
All right. Well, we are sputtering to a halt. This... Guys, thank you so much. Shout out to all of our G-Pong brethren and sisterin. You guys make Twitter so much better. Shout out to all of our MFFLs out there. Thank you, everyone that sent a question. We greatly appreciate it. We want to get more listeners actually on the pod. We'll be reaching out for that sooner than later. Grant, you've been doing some awesome, awesome videos. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes. I've been doing awesome videos for the MFFL's YouTube. Episode 6 of A Show About Basketball will be made today. Hopefully, it'll be out tonight as well. But enough about that. Happy birthday, Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, we buried the lead. Oh.
Buried it. 7'3" underground.
Yeah, no, Kristaps deserves some sort of cathedral tomb whenever he does pass. Mainly out of space. Yeah, space requirements. Yeah, not so much for ritual purposes. Anyways, I don't want to talk about burying our best players. This is literally burying the lead, and I don't want to go down that path. We're super excited about regular season, but we're also excited about playoff Mavs basketball. It's going to be a fun time. It's so good talking actual hoops with you guys. It's been a small dose of normalcy that I have desperately needed, and thank you everybody in the Mavs community that is helping us do that and being a part of that. The Mavs family community, what have you, has been one of the few good parts of the internet. So thank you very much. You can follow us at the _MFFLs account. If you're going to be asking questions, be sure to follow Ruben at Reddit Mavs. We've got Edmund the Slayer. That would be Grant. Find him on Twitter. He's also, are you still Donnie Nelson's burner account?
Yes, sir. Always.
Okay, good to know. And then, of course, our editor-in-chief, at Bryce Paterick. Paterick. Damn it. God damn it. I am so sorry. I have been off on names all day. Like,
you're fired.
I'm fired.
It doesn't help that I have like 10 names. So that's, sorry, Bryce.
That's Bryce. True. Yeah. So
I blame Grant.
Paterick, forgive me. So regardless, he does actual journalism and he's very good at it. So please read all of his stuff. We'll be having more articles on the MFFL's website soon enough. You can find me at Don_Denim, like the pants, but spelled differently. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Have a good rest of the day. Go Mavericks.
There you guys.
Mavs.
Peace out, homies. This is awesome.